know, we try to focus on, like, what are some ideas that you have for gifts that you might want to give others? And, you know, they'll think about it, and then, you know, it's just kind of goes by the wayside. And yesterday we were out shopping. I was just with my six-year-old, and we went in to buy a gift for a nephew. And the whole way there, I'm like, we're just buying for Henry. We're just, you know, we're just focused on Henry. It's just a gift for Henry.
That's perfect.
And we're not going to buy anything for ourselves, including myself, which, you know, walking to Target is sometimes hard to do.
Welcome to the Parented Podcast. I'm your host, Michelle Gams. Join me as we explore the hardest job that you will ever love, parenting your child. If you can take a moment to rate or review this podcast, that is life to our team that works so hard to put together these episodes for you. Thanks for considering.
Okay, hey girl.
Testing, 1, 2, 3.
How's it going?
It's going pretty good.
Okay, we're good.
Happy holidays.
Hello.
Oh, yeah.
Welcome back.
Thanks, Michelle.
Yeah.
It's always Britt. Fun. Yep, here I am.
Yes, Britt, amazing mother of four.
Yeah, with lots of issues.
Amazing mother of four, yeah. Who we do get to see her beautiful four children in our Instagram.
Quite a bit.
Parented.
Too much. Mm-hmm.
Yep, Get Parented.
Yeah.
So you get to see her beautiful foursome.
Thanks.
Courtesy of Katie Destry's photographs.
Mostly, yeah. Mm-hmm. Thanks. Mm-hmm.
So what do we want to talk about?
Yeah, today? Happy holidays.
Yeah.
I thought that it might be a good time to talk about how to teach your kids the value of giving in the holidays rather than receiving. You know, it's always about receiving and what they want and the list for Santa and all that. But this year, I've really tried to consciously step away from focusing on what they want. Mm-hmm. Alex and I have not once asked for them to do a list, which they already have. You know, my 8-year-old's already remembered that, you know, he can send a list to Santa. And so he's already started that without our, you know, initiation of any kind. And so the others follow suit.
Culturally well.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's like this constant, what I want, but you know, we try to focus on, like, what are some ideas that you have for gifts that you might want to give others? And, you know, they'll think about it, and then, you know, it's just kind of goes by the wayside. Mm-hmm. And yesterday we were out shopping. I was just with my 6-year-old, and we went in to buy a gift for a nephew. Mm-hmm. And the whole way there, I'm like, we're just buying for Henry. We're just, you know, we're just focused on Henry. It's just a gift for Henry.
That's perfect.
And we're not going to buy anything for ourselves, including myself, which, you know, walking to Target is sometimes hard to do.
That's impossible.
But I have to model with my own behavior, right? Like, it's hard.
Yeah, but and, okay, well, hold up, Britt. Just pause a minute, because you going into Target as a mother of four is not usually buying for you, okay? My guess
True.
Is it's not usually buying for you. It's you buying for the team.
Oh, I find something that I need.
Okay, well, that's fine.
Not
too,
really.
I think going
you know
into
what
Target
I mean. Yeah.
Is impossible to come out with one thing.
It is.
Especially, but that's okay that you would come out with things that are needed for everyone, too. And
True.
And we're there to get something for Henry.
Yeah,
so
that was the focus.
Commend first that there was an expectation setting prior to going into Target.
Definitely.
Because without that, it's much worse.
It's even worse.
Yeah,
it was
so
still bad.
You did that. It's like,
yeah.
Beautiful. Okay, so now what?
It just starts the first thing he sees, you know, it's, can I have this? Can I have that? And we're focused on picking out a gift. I keep redirecting.
Is
like, we're not here to, I only have my 6-year-old with me.
Six. Okay.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. And so, I just keep redirecting him, and, you know, wants these Pokemon cards. He wants this, he wants that. And, you know, I go back and forth. It's like it weighs on you after, like, he asks you 100 times. And I'm like, I'm not doing this.
Oh. Yeah.
And I said, mind you, the last time I took him out shopping, he lost his wallet and his $2 bill that it was in his wallet. And he went out to shop. And he got so distracted with what he wanted. He put his wallet down and we lost it in the store.
Mm-hmm.
At least there was only $2 in it, you know? He wasn't as bothered as I had wanted him to be by it. He wasn't as bothered as I was by it. So this is attempt number two. His money is gone. So, you know, this is a present that I'm buying, honestly. And so I said, you know, Reese, did you bring your money? I have $2. I was like, actually, no, you don't, honey. You lost your $2 last weekend. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he just starts to get, you can just see his anger just growing as we're in there and we're picking something out for his nephew, mm-hmm. for my nephew. And,
he's powerless.
Mm-hmm.
It's literally like a kid in a candy store, powerless.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I ask him his opinion. I pick out two things that Henry kind of wanted. And, you know, I try to take his opinion. You know, he chooses which one he wants. And then, but it's just, he's kind of losing it. And then he starts saying, like, I hate you, you know, or like, you're dumb, mommy, you know. And I just haven't responded much to it. Sometimes I'll say, like, Reese, that really hurts my feelings, you know, or something like that. Usually in the moment, like, I've got my hands full. Usually I have multiple kids with me. It's like, how do I respond to that? And what do I just let him lose it because, you know, we're not buying something for him?
Okay. Great topic.
Yeah.
I'm sure you're the only one, Brent.
Because, and I will leave all of our listeners on the edge of their seats as to what I actually did.
Ooh, do you want to save that? Do you want me to talk or do you want to say it now?
No, you tell me your answer.
Okay, great.
And then, yeah,
okay,
we'll leave them hanging.
There are three things that I want to touch on in there. Okay, so, and the first part was the part that's commendable of the expectation setting. So all of you out there, before you, literally in the parking lot, you could, before you open the car doors, say, this is what I expect when we go into Target. This is what we're doing in Target. We're here to get Henry a present. And we're going to, I'd like your help picking it out. And you have absolute permission to go get anything else you want or need. You have that right. You're at Target. I would make that worth your while so I wouldn't be back at Target again. But I respect that you didn't. Okay, that's fine, whatever. So, expectation setting. Then, the other piece is, does Reese get an allowance?
We have been very inconsistent with it. Okay. And yes, he should, but most weeks we all drop the ball.
Okay.
So it's something we need to focus on and I know I need to do, but I would say at this point, no, he has not been given a routine allowance.
Okay. In my experience, around age 5, children learn that money has power. It's no longer pretty paper. Prior to 5, it's just pretty paper, and it doesn't mean anything to them. And then around 5, they learn that this is transactional. This can get me some good stuff. And so, I want to talk a little bit about allowance, and then what I have found in regards to Target is that it eliminates all, not all, but much of the Target begging.
Yeah.
Because the simple question is, Reese, did you bring your money? Reese, do you have money for that?
I know.
You turn it back around, and then they get to decide, because it's the easiest thing to do, spend somebody else's money, okay? And this, you can look at this in people who know economics, they'll talk about that it's easiest to spend the government's money. Like with, you know, different programs or whatever, it's like people don't even really think about it. Spending the government. It's hard. If it's closer to you, like say it's your partner's money, it's less hard to spend that as your partner's money. It's the most difficult to spend your own money.
Agreed. I totally agree with that. And I do that. I always say, did you bring your money? Which is ironic because we don't give them their allowance more than half the time. So I need to be consistent with that because that already is my thing and it will totally change their mind. My 8-year-old completely shuts his mouth.
Yes.
Like when I say, did you bring your money?
Right.
Because he earns more money. And so he's, you know, he reminds me to give him his allowance and like.
See, let's have him be in charge of allowances for everybody over 5.
Yeah.
Okay?
It's probably a good thing.
No, seriously. like the, and you could even, I mean, whatever your allowance is, you could even make a little bank, like for you and Alex's sake, to trust the 8-year-old to go, okay,
that's a good idea.
Here's the bank, and for this month or whatever, every Sunday, I want you to give allowances to everybody over 5, so that he's in charge, because you guys just have too many other things on going.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so that would be great. Great job for him, mm-hmm. and he can manage, right? And then what happens is then it's them deciding for themselves in Target. And for me, it saved me from killing my children in Target, because it's and I would say, and because often they didn't bring their money, and they would say, okay, Mom, but I have this money, so would you loan me the money and I'll pay you when I get back?
Right. That's always the
question. And I was open to that, mm-hmm. so long as, as soon as we got home, they took the responsibility to go get that money and put it in my wallet or next to my purse, and I would do it for them again. But if I said, if I go home and I have to ask you for this, I will not be doing this next time in Target. So I'm happy to loan you money so long as you take the responsibility to pay it back without being asked. If you don't, the answer next time at Target is, I'm not willing. Needs to be a word in our language. Mm-hmm. I'm not willing to loan that to you today. You might want to remember to bring your money next time, Reese, because last time I loaned you money, I had to keep asking you for it and you didn't provide it. So I'm not willing to do it this time. We'll try it again next time if you forget your money again. Because I'm reasonable, but I'm not going to honor. Like, I have to notice patterns, and I'm not going to do that when they're.
That's a really great point, because I'll almost always forget if they've borrowed money to ask for that later or to, yeah.
No, you don't need, that's not your responsibility. You just gave a gift. That's their responsibility to pay their debt.
Hey friends, if you'd like to be a guest on our podcast, we'd love to have you join us. I'm here to provide support for you parents in any way that I can. If you would like more information about how to be a guest, check out our show notes for this episode.
Yeah.
So, mm-hmm. So if we have the 8-year-old doling it out and everybody gets their allowances and you go into Target, then it shifts all that questioning. And then I also I might say next time to Reese, we need to go pick out a present for whoever. And I am or am not willing to take you based on last time's events. So I'm going to take so-and-so instead because you have options.
Yeah.
I have
3 other options. I know.
That's your house.
Yeah.
We'll
oh, believe me, I heard that when I got home. Yeah. It's my turn.
Next time, we'll give you another shot at it, Reese. But based on what happened last time, I can't take you into Target because I told you what I needed, what I expected, and it didn't happen. And so, but there are things that we can do, like to make the odds better that this could go differently. Okay, let me talk a little bit about allowance too, just a little bit. Allowances need to not be tied to chores, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And because it turns into what's in it for me mentality. If you do that out there, parents, it can work really effectively the first time or the second time that they hop to and do it, and then the following week when you say, I need you to empty the dishwasher, and they go, how much do I get? You want to kill them. It needs to not be tied to anything. It's money management is the skill we're trying to teach. And so they have a job and a school. So we want to teach them money management. And that's a life skill. So we want to start around 5, giving them money every week, ideally, when they're young like that, because it's too far out to do a month. When they're older, you can do it monthly. But don't tie to chores. Just give them funds to feel powerful, to save yourself when you're in all these situations, when they're out. They feel power. They learn what it's like to save it, spend it on plastic fantastics, have them break. They learn what it's like to be accomplished, to save for a goal. They learn what it's like to have none. And so they get to feel all of that, which are life skills around money.
Yeah, I think that's, perfect.
So what'd you do?
So, yeah, I failed the mission.
I
failed the mission. So we picked out the gift, and then he had in his hands the Pokemon cards that he wanted.
Oh, you pleased.
For these $2 car, or I don't know, $5. Maybe it was $5. Yeah. So he was carrying them around. We went and got him a pair of jeans, like picked out a pair of jeans. He tried them on, like, because he actually needs those. And we talked about that, which I didn't plan on doing, which probably was a fail also, but
anyway, with one kid, that sounds like a perfect opportunity.
I know, this is probably me just trying to, enjoy my time.
And I like how you said need, because those are important terms to introduce to your children, the difference between needs and wants.
Yeah.
Because they don't have a clue. So it's to say, you know, this isn't, there are needs that you have, and I'm going to provide those needs. There are wants that you have, and sometimes you're going to get those, and sometimes they're up to you, and sometimes you're not.
Yeah.
So, but I will provide your needs.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So what is it? And he's going to wear those to the, you know, when it's time to dress up for the holidays. And, you know, we talked about that. So his school pageant, we talked about that.
Beautiful.
So he tried them on. We're going to buy the jeans. And he convinced me that he was going to work off the $2 for the Pokemon cards.
Okay.
And I just think that was a total fail. And it was sheerly to avoid the wrath of my 6-year-old. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I would say I don't normally do that. Maybe my husband would say differently, but I don't. I really do think I sometimes even introduce adversity to them because we have to. I mean, partly that's our job as a parent, I think, is to not give our kids everything they want. But yeah, so got home and the Pokemon cards that were so important, he says these are bad cards the minute he got in the car. And there was some change that came down that is on our kitchen island right now, but that, you know, he hasn't done anything for the cards right now. So it's on my mind, and in thinking about the holidays, and, you know, it's been on my mind since we came home. I knew that I didn't do the right thing. You know, it just didn't feel right. And, you know, I've been thinking about it ever since, and it's something that so many would think is so little, like, who cares? But it all adds up. And, you know, he will remember that we went into Target and he got what he wanted, and he didn't have to do anything but act like a, you know, little jerk for it. And so it just to avoid him, you know, saying I hate you, or, you know, causing a scene, you know, even though as a 6-year-old his scenes aren't even bad. Like, it's nothing I can't handle. I just, you know, so yeah, it was definitely a fail. And so it just got me thinking, like, how am I going to navigate all of these holidays with my kids, and trying to instill the importance for them in gift giving rather than receiving, mm-hmm. and what I can do next time, you know, to avoid that, mm-hmm. and how to really, like, and I think my 8-year-old's coming around to, like, really actually wanting to give a gift to friends. So, and to teachers, so how to kind of encourage that more so than what they get, you know, because, well, I get their excitement.
Let's accept that. I mean, kids are egocentric, so they're going to be focused on what am I, and we've conditioned them culturally to go tell Santa, and isn't this cute? Like Ruth said, it's all really cute at first.
Mm-hmm.
And then just like if you paid them to do chores, it turns ugly quickly.
Yeah.
It turns really ugly, which is, okay, now you're just sort of greedy. Okay, well, we just did that to them by saying you could go ask a stranger for anything you want.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
So the value of giving, whether it's to their siblings, whether it's to their teacher, their friend, or to, you know, like, I think another beautiful thing, especially a family of your size too, to go and do something, like, as a family, that's a way that we can give, you know, like, do something of that, they, how they could contribute in some way,
mm-hmm.
Whatever that is, speaks to, I think that's a great sort of holiday experience too,
mm-hmm.
to kind of participate in some way, like take action in some way to do something, because then they can see and feel good about contributing and what that feels like too. That's even on a different level than a personal level to people they know. It's,
mm-hmm.
I don't know, whatever that is.
That's a good idea.
You know, do, it just depends. There are lots of,
yeah. we've taken on a family in the past that, you know, needed things for around the holidays. Mm-hmm. Although I'm not sure how into it they got. They were younger. We've thought about that again, or like volunteering at a food bank or something. Mm-hmm. But again, it's hard. Their ages are, you know, 2 to 8, but right. So the 6 and 8 year old, even my 5 year old,
right,
could potentially get into that, but I don't know how much those places want a 5 year old around. But thought about cleaning out, donating toys to other kids in need. You know, that's good. Things that they can pick out that are nice good. Toys of theirs that they're maybe done with or they're okay with
passing on.
Yeah, that was good. My idea this year. We're gonna make some gifts for teachers and other friends. That I hope to involve them in.
And the baking too, things like that where they participate and they get
similar.
To give it, and that would be, I mean, that's fun all the way around.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, that's my plan. It's just it's just hard to get away from the list. It just feels so greedy, but
and then okay, so I think too, you know, there's a pay it forward element to this. I think it's a beautiful thing to teach children to give. Okay, so and we're fighting instincts, okay, and it's just keep at it, and it's beautiful. And what the paying it forward thing is, look at what you're doing with your children, giving to them, for these 4 children. And hopefully they are going to pay that forward down the road when they become parents and they learn how to give and how to sacrifice and how to be selfless, because that happens to so many of us who wake up when we have a child and say, okay, this isn't about me anymore alone, like, or my partner. It's more about there's an us to all of this and a generosity to this that you're demonstrating.
I think you have a really good point. It's just, you know, kids learn by watching us more so than anything. I just had the idea that you could do a Secret Santa, and like your kids could see you putting the gift together and go with you to deliver it. And just the act of watching you do that could be beneficial, you know.
What if you did the Secret Santa inside your family?
Yeah.
Isn't that kind of cute? Like what you could do. Like,
that would be.
Know each other and do things.
They have used their own money to buy gifts for each other. It's funny, my 8-year-old wants to go to Goodwill, but you know, it's fine.
Right. The dollar store is another one.
Oh, yeah.
Transact
easily.
And I also, Britt, I want to touch on the piece about stupid mommy and mean mommy.
Yeah. Yeah. Because that's not just in this situation. So, mostly from my 5-year-old and my 6-year-old, it's if they don't get what they want or if they're frustrated, it's dumb mommy or like, I hate you.
Yes.
You know, just because. And I've made a point to never like freak out, even though like it slightly breaks my heart, you know, when they say that.
Good for you.
And so really, if I say anything, it's I get down their level and look them in the eye and just say that hurts my feelings. You know, I don't like when you say that.
Okay.
And then I get up and usually walk away.
Okay.
That's how I've dealt with it.
Okay.
I feel like there could be a better way, but I've even tried to talk to them at a different time about it and how we don't talk to each other like that. And you know, they're also name calling each other quite readily, which is probably a way bigger problem than them saying that to me.
Right.
You know, stupid Luca, or like, you know, just the stuff that kids say to each other.
Yes.
To try to hurt each other. You know, so those are like 2 things I'm dealing with quite a bit now, and more so now that we're, you know, shopping more than we would normally, and there's more disappointment introduced.
Right. Okay. There's your answer. You have your answer. You've said it twice now. You said earlier, they're disappointed or frustrated, and then you just said at the end, it's to handle their disappointment. Therein lies your answer of how to handle this, because when children do the name-calling, that's a form of revenge.
Mm-hmm.
It's a cycle of revenge, which is the cycle is I'm hurt about something, and I'm going to hurt you back, Mom. And the way I'm going to hurt you is I'm going to call you a name. And then you really played into it by saying, actually, bingo, you hurt me.
Yeah.
And that's what we do because we're wounded. And how could you? And, like, it is heartbreaking, okay? So what I encourage parents, like, try to ignore as much as you can the personal attack, because it's intended to do that. It's intended to hurt you. And focus in on, if you rewind right before the attack came, you identified it. They're frustrated or disappointed about something. And that is what you acknowledge. So, Luca, you are really frustrated that I will not buy you the tutu or whatever it is. You know, like whatever. You know, and you go, okay, I could see why you're disappointed about that and you're mad at me. Leave it at that.
Yeah.
Period. End of story. Leave out the stupid mommy, I hate you, whatever, any of that. Just leave it out, because what you're doing is you're going to the bullseye, which is the real issue. And when you do the real issue, then you won't, the rest will like manage itself. So, I mean, and I would say even at a different moment, if you wanted to address the I hate you, stupid mommy, you could say, if you want to say anything about that, like that, you know, what you prefer at your house, or, but I don't want to give it any attention.
That's a really good point.
I don't want to feed it. I just want to rewind and address what the real issue is. Because that's their form of attacking you and getting back in the revenge and hurting you, and it's working. And so I want to go back to even when children, I know this is going to sound dramatic, but even when children do this, well, I just want to kill myself, or I just want to die, or I just want to whatever. Just don't focus on that part. Go with what happened before it. Like rewind with what happened before it, and ignore that piece, and don't give it any energy, that piece, because they're not really interested in doing that or going to do that.
Yeah,
they just are doing it for effect because they're so hurt and wounded. And so,
yeah, I
and
get
that's
that.
Scary,
yeah,
for parents to hear that, because it's like the ultimate
really
wound to your heart.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I guess, you know, when I said it breaks my heart a little, the first time you hear it, it does. But I do understand that they're just trying to get at me. Honestly, it's more like, I think it bothers maybe me and others more because maybe people around them have heard it and like, well, I have to deal with it. My kid just said they hate me. Like,
oh, the social,
I don't know. But then again, when I'm getting down on their level, that doesn't feel right either. And it's not because people are watching me. That's not why I'm doing it. But it just feels like I have to address it in some way in that moment. But you're right. Like sometimes I do ignore it.
Well, I don't want you to ignore it.
Getting down on their level also doesn't feel right because they're angry, and it's like, here's my face right up in your face. Like, and it just almost feels like you're asking for more, you know, like,
intensity.
Yeah.
Yeah. So does it feel okay to do what we just talked about?
Yeah. Yeah. I can definitely do it.
Feelings that were there without addressing the harsh words.
Yeah.
Like leave that part out and just address the other piece.
Yeah. And I like the way you worded it too, because typically I'll approach it and say something like, I know you want that, Reese, but, that's hard, like, to hear that, but, they're expecting the but.
Well, yeah, the but
and it's like,
what came before it.
Right, right.
It's just, you're really disappointed, or you're really frustrated because I won't buy this for you, or you're mad at me because I wouldn't give you a cookie, or you're upset because I won't let you stay up later, or whatever came before mommy, or your stupid mommy. Like, just gloss over that part, because that's not the issue. And we parents, we focus, like, we go straight beeline for that.
Yeah, because of the I know that my kids don't hate me. You know, I mean, that's like,
yeah,
but it is still hard to hear. And that's true. It's just, so what you're saying is basically just to acknowledge their feelings. You know, acknowledge, it's hard to walk in here and not buy stuff for ourselves all the time.
Exactly
to not spend the money on us when, you know.
Right. And it is, because this is like a candy store.
I know it is. Like,
right.
Yeah. So I mean,
just
it's like
joining them in it instead of.
I know.
Yeah. Instead of shaming them and then getting incited over what they're trying, the arrow they're throwing at you.
Yeah. And so really, if I can rewind that situation, I let him carry around the Pokemon cards. And you know, it wasn't like I said, you can carry him around. He just kind of had him, and I said, let's go, we're moving on.
Yeah.
And I knew he was carrying them. And I didn't know at the end, you know, he said, you know, he was going to do some chores. So I just kind of, if I can rewind that, I should say, you know, we should have gone through it and we should have taken him back and put him back. Do I, you know, in that situation with, you know, if he's just, that's the better parenting choice, is to take him back and put him back. And well, to just deal with whatever kind of hell ensues.
Well, yeah, or he could leave. I mean, again, when you give a child power, it's choice. So you feel free to carry them around, and I know they feel good for you because you love Pokemon cards.
Yeah.
So do you want to carry them and leave them at the checkout, or would you prefer to take them back where you got them? There's a choice there. There's power in that. I'm not willing to buy them.
Yeah, that would have been a really perfect.
Okay, yeah, well, again, Britt, remember we talked about there's the A option, B option.
Yeah,
C,
I know.
We did no harm. So we did no harm,
I know.
So that's good.
You know, parenting just takes a hell of a lot of effort, and I just... I let it go on that one, you know?
Yeah, well,
it was just the easier option for me.
He got
I didn't want to ruin...
We did that check.
Yeah, it's just... Yeah, it's hard. It's just these little things that add up that you constantly got to be thinking about.
Okay, well, thank you very much for sharing that with us today.
Thanks,
truly.
Michelle. Thank you.
It.
Happy holidays.
I never said it would be easy. I only said it would be worth it. Peace to you, Mom or Dad. It starts there. You've got this.